Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Right, welcome to On My Block, now a championship review podcast. I'm your host, Mike Wall. Amon Green will be joining us shortly. Let's get rid of this read read first. Let's celebrate this read first, excuse me. For betonline.ag, basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at betonline.ag. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL playoffs, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, esports, or even golf. So head to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use your promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, we're going to get into what I thought was a really kind of interesting NFC, AFC playoff weekend. Let's start with some Packer information first. So Jerry Gray, who is the pass game coordinator and the defensive backs coach for the Green Bay Packers, is now going to Atlanta. It's kind of coming out, I think, in the media that he might have taken some or had some issues with Joe Barry's scheme, particularly the lack of aggressive play at the cornerback position. I very, very specifically, I think he referenced talking to Joe Barry on a Thursday after getting interviewed on a Monday, talking to Joe Barry on a Thursday about, hey, it's his scheme. He's the mastermind behind it. You should ask his questions. Usually when you see that, that's a very, very strong indicator that, you know, people are not seeing eye to eye with reference to what they're being, quote unquote, at this point, I guess, forced to run. So that is probably Jerry Gray is a guy who played 9 years in the league. I think he went to like four Pro Bowls. Really, really good player. I know he's highly respected by the players in that locker room. So usually what I'm just going to give you my two cents, my experience as a player and as a coach. When you've got a guy who's a position coach in particular that has had a ton of success as a player in that league, and they are actively being told to do something by a coordinator or whoever's the next highest up on the rung that they fundamentally disagree with, and they know from personal experience that is not going to be in the best interest of their players, they are going to speak out. They are going to have a problem with it. This is where if you're not handling this maturely, I think from the coordinator standpoint and from the position coach's standpoint, there can be an issue. And it seems like, I mean, listen, everyone's complaining all year that we've got first round draft picks all across the board. We have veteran leadership. We have what in the makings, what you would think would be a top secondary, and they're not playing to standard. They're giving up, you know, we talked about the fourth and one, the fourth and two play in the last game of the season versus the Detroit Lions, how they're both playing off. The quarterbacks are playing off in both situations. And you start to think to yourself, well, clearly Jerry Gray's been in the league. He was a four-time Pro Bowler. I played nine seasons. And he knows better than to do this. So they're doing it for a reason. Jair Alexander wants to be the best cornerback in the league. They're doing it for a reason. This is something we talk about all the time. And if they're doing it for a reason, and now you see that it comes out maybe that the defense or the secondary coach, who is a former player, is not vibing with the idea that her guys should be playing off or playing in this structure, and it's not conducive to making his players become the best versions of themselves. Like, that's a thing that really happens in the National Football League, because, you know, team supersedes offense and defense, supersedes the individual player, even though from a player standpoint, we want to think in a perfect world that it's the same, but the truth is it's actually player, right, then team, or player, offense, and defense, then team. So it might be an addition by subtraction here is what I'm trying to say, because I think that when you're a coaching staff that just doesn't see eye to eye, like this might be a road. If you're going to be all in on Joe Barry, then you're going to have to remove any distraction that is not going to help you very specifically with supporting your defensive coordinator. So that's my two cents on that. Other news, listen, there's some people in the media, and listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to be, you know, top story. Anytime you mention his name he's like kind of like LeBron on ESPN, right? No matter if LeBron could score 5 points or 45 points, he's going to be the top 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 leads into ESPN, into SportsCenter, because he's LeBron James. And I think Aaron Rodgers kind of has that certain cachet cachet as well. So there's a couple of guys out there saying that, and, you know, Schefter, I think, brought it up the first, and Schefter's the guy that kind of took over draft day, what, last year or two seasons ago, with all his Aaron Rodgers information that seemingly didn't come from anywhere. But there's a suggestion the Packers might want to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Thinking out loud, what would be the reasons that you would want to move on from a Hall of Fame quarterback? That seems he had an off year by it. But why? What would possibly be the reason you want to move on if you don't think that Jordan Love is improved? And here we go. Ahmad's with us now. AJ,
yeah, sorry about that.
No problem. Just I got a question for you. So, you know, Schefter's out there talking about the Packers might be the ones that are trying to move Aaron Rodgers now. You know, this thing may or may not happen. My question for you is, what could be the reason that you would want to move on from a Hall of Fame player? Like, from a performance standpoint, from a chemistry standpoint, culture standpoint, what could possibly be the reason you want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers?
It will probably have to be either a cultural standpoint or, you know, a scheming standpoint. It's not the talent. The talent was still there. He just had one of those years. So I say
he doesn't run like an old man yet, right?
No, not at all. So they're looking at what they have in house, which they have Jordan Love at quarterback, and then they have all these young receivers. They got guys on defense. They have a defense, a really good defense when healthy, just like anybody else does in the NFL right now. So it's just now seeing how Aaron's, you know, I say it's more his attitude about being here in Green Bay than being, you know, somebody that's going to be just in the locker room doing his job. So is his mind, body, and soul, all of it going to be into being on that team come 2023 fall? As a coach, as a GM, as an organization, they got to see where he's going, because they saw the last couple of years what's been going on with the back and forth. You know, he speaking his mind, speaking his true feelings, obviously rubs them, you know, rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But that's just him being him now. He's being true to himself. But from the team aspect, they want to know that how does that work? Does it, you know, sometimes it sounds great, sometimes it looks good, sometimes it doesn't look good because of what they went through this past season. We saw a little up and down emotional roller coaster game wise, and how that affected the locker room, how he was poking and prodded at players through the media to try to get something out of them. You know, he tried that way, didn't quite work. It just kind of came to its own in the last month in the season, the way the players, like Christian Watson being one, stepped up his gameplay, started to have that back and forth with him and, you know, his wide receiver, to then now they're on the same page. But it took them a whole season of going through that. So the question to the team is basically, you know, do we want to potentially go through that again? If there is any other questions that Aaron brings up, you know, while the offseason when it gets, I say, deep into the offseason, once we're past free agency and then getting into these new rookies that's going to be on all 32 teams and what they'll have in-house at that time.
Yeah, so do you – well, so the, another way to word that is, are they tired of his will-he-won't-he antics? I mean
– yeah, I think it's kind of wearing thin. I say for the organization side.
It's got to be – from the coaching staff up.
Yeah.
Coaching staff, personnel, general manager, president, they're all tired of it. They'll say whatever they want. But listen,
make it sound like they're dealing with it, but they're like, they're ready to push on.
Players don't pay attention. I mean, they all know what's going on, but they don't really care. They care exactly. Because it affects their pocketbook, right? Because especially for wide receiver, whatever position you play, your number's going to be better without
going to playoffs, because that's more money, all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, your number's going to be better because you have a better quarterback. Exactly. Right. I mean, at the bottom line, but I don't, we don't really pay that much attention to other people's careers unless they're directly impacting us. Like, is Amon playing this game? True. Okay, that affects me, but it's not like, is Amon going on a TV show and talking about whether he wants to play? That's something completely different. For me, I just think as long as he's healthy, the player in me says, as long as he's healthy, I want him there because I know he makes my job easier. I know we're going to be a better team with him. I don't think this is not an addition by subtraction deal, but conversely, and I just don't know how much equity that Matt LaFleur and Goody have actually, Goody's been there for so long, but I don't know how much equity they've actually built up. And I know Matt's had three positive, really, really good regular seasons with a lot of disappointment in the offseason, but I don't know how much equity they built up to say, hey, we're like they could with like Shermy and Ted could do with Brett is like, hey, it's time to go. And Brett was even a little bit more like, here's the line in the sand. It was a little more obvious. Like
He came back, but once he made that decision, he moved on.
And there wasn't like a weekly television show. No. There wasn't all this, right? The circus. So
no.
Gosh, it doesn't seem as certain with Jordan Love. Jordan Love just doesn't seem like the same player that Aaron Rodgers was given the same time frame at this point in their career. Just from what's coming out of practice, like, man, you should see the way this guy runs the offense. You see the balls that he's throwing. It just feels a little bit different. So, for that reason, you keep wanting to hang on and figure out where your window is. But I guess the other question is, you saw the NFC Championship game yesterday, and we'll talk about it at length, but the Philadelphia Eagles, if they're the class of the NFC, let's forget the AFC, if they're the class of the NFC, and the San Francisco 49ers, as we saw them literally every other game for the last 12 games, except for when they had their four-string quarterback in, do we really think that the Green Bay Packers are at a level right now, or are they one player away, two players away, where they can contend with that team? Because if the answer is no, if the answer is like, listen, we have to be honest, Goody just comes in and goes to Matt like, hey, we got to be honest. We're not beating the Eagles anytime soon.
No.
Right.
That's
and that's answer. What I think. I watched that game yesterday. I'm like, oh shoot, man, we're not beating the Eagles.
It's a problem.
Soon. Yeah.
No, that is four or five players away from being on that level of having, defense alignment, linebackers, offensive players, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, and O-line that get down like they play. They play physical. They play just as physical than the 49ers did and half all this season. And we saw the game. And because the physicality came with Riddick getting to Purdy. He beating the tackle, getting around there. And every time he got to the quarterback, he inflicted pain. He got to Purdy. He got to Josh. Put them both out the game. he dictated the game for the 49ers.
Can you – okay, so Kyle Shanahan's a genius. And we'll watch the plays. Why – are you blocking Hassan? First of all, from the jump, Josh Sweat and Hassan Reddick, they were like,
yes,
listen, you're not going to crack us you could try to trap us, correct, but we're coming off the edge hard. So hard. You could, all that fast stuff, you could try to toss outside us. That might work, but doing anything else is not working. You are not doing anything because they were jumping a yard in deep into the line of scrimmage from the jump.
Yes.
And they almost got into the backfield multiple times, even before. And then you had the sack, which could have been a sack fumble, touchdown recovery
on Josh. Yes. Yep.
But Hassan, it was a complete game wrecker early on. But it goes back to I think McGlinchey was going to have a tough day against him, But I still would have been like, you know what? I think I'll take my chances with my first round right tackle, then my third string tight end on a deep, on an under center play action deep pass. You're like, dude, what did you just do? You know, he has 16 sacks.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe that play got called early in the game. And then it happened two more times where they have guys running at him and then they fake the crack and Kittle. You're just going like, oh my God. Man. After the first one, like, call it a day, man. You don't make that call first, like the first series when everything's scripted, bro. That can't be a call. That cannot be a call.
Not with that defense.
You got to give them some looks first.
Yeah. Yeah. Not with that defense. Not with that defense. What they've been doing all year, the teams defensively, the speed, the resetting the line of scrimmage, what they do, the physicality, they do it at too. They thought they could script it without adjusting until the next series, but there wasn't. This is it. This is the AFC Championship game, the NFC Championship game. It's like, this is, you make your adjustment, even though you got a first 15. That first 15 can change and will change if you see
it. Well,
it
did change, but for the wrong reasons.
For other reasons. but I say before that, before you get to an injury, you know, I'm saying to myself, I'm telling my running backs, hey, if we're in gun, or it's a passing play, I formation, whatever, red, dot, I don't care where we're at, we're chipping. We're going to give the lineman an extra little help when we leave the backfield. Every play, we don't have the ball, we're helping the guys out before we go. Unless our blitzer comes, then we go commit to our blitzer. But outside of that, we're giving help to anybody we can without throwing them off their block.
I just can't imagine. And like, Kyle Shanahan to me is the offensive master. Like, I think he's the best offensive coach in the league. I'm just saying this. Like, it was just nuts to me. It didn't make sense because Hassan Reddick is, bar none, the best pass rusher left in the playoffs. Like, there's nobody better than. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bosa's. That's not fair. Bosa's on the other side. Okay, so fair enough. So those two are the one and 1A best pass rushers left, just pure pass rushers left in the playoffs, and they block him with a third string tight end or a backup tight end. You're like, oh my God. In like one of the first five plays of the game, I just could, it was nuts.
Yeah, probably was just something they dismissed. And unfortunately, that miss came into Purdy injuring his wrist or finger, or thumb, or what have you with throwing the ball. Because once I saw the contact, I'm like, that's not a good contact part right there. And then, of course, saw as soon as I said that, they showed them picture walking him to the locker room for x ray. So, I was like, darn it, this is downhill from here.
Have you ever seen the game was just kind of a throwaway game, honestly. And you don't really get a true look of what the Eagles. So we'll show some clips. Like, Eagles offensive line was completely dominant. They could dominate the trenches. This game was all about how good they are. Yeah. Jalen Hurts had, 15 to 25, 121 yards. He had 39 yards rushing. They had 150 yards rushing, though. You know, it's not like it wasn't a great average. But you've got to remember, all the turnovers, that big turnover by Johnson in the second quarter, and they flip it, and they get another touchdown, they go up by two touchdowns. But they still had to score 31 points against the number one defense in the league, right? Exactly. And that is worth something when you're going to get to play the Chiefs, who Chris Jones was amazing. We'll talk about it. But they're not the San Francisco 49ers. Fred Warner, they made Greenlaw and Fred Warner, they made them play like average linebackers, and not because they're average, but because the way that they use the offensive line and the way that Jalen Hurts has the ability to run and throw off that off the run on those RPO looks, like, they showed you over and over, Fred Warner's just standing there and waiting and waiting. All of a sudden, I think they said you turn a 4-5 guy into a 4-7 guy, a 4-8 guy, and he just could not keep up. It's that part of it is not going away. That travels anywhere they want to play, but the rest of this game, it was just painful to watch, man, because I've been a big Niners fan, like, all playoffs, and you just go, I mean, the second half, they can't throw the ball. I mean, literally, I've never seen a game that looked like I thought I was watching Navy again.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's all mental. You know, they see the effects to the offense. You know, you see Purdy go down, you know, and I see Warner, you know, he got banged up early, but he came right back in, was playing fine. But then once Purdy went down, that sends they're using their eyes and ears of what they're seeing as human beings on the field. They're like, oh, crap. Yeah. We got Josh coming in off the bench. And Josh hasn't played all year, preseason maybe. And he probably was even on the team at the start of the season.
Nah,
you know, you have that in front of you. And a lot of – even the good players, they'll go into, oh, crap.
Oh, Kittle said it at the end of the game, right? He's like, it's shitty. You know, it's like, yeah. it's pretty shitty actually having to, you don't have a quarterback. I mean, you get to all this way, right. All that work, all the everything. And you just, like, I can't even, you try to put yourself in that position as a player and you're okay. So you lost your first guy, you lost your second guy, your third guy turns out to actually be your first guy. He's actually the best guy you have. And he'll probably be the guy going forward, which is another conversation. Right. But then you're like, Josh Johnson's in the game. Like, have you ever heard of him?
I know him. I've heard of him personally.
Oh, dear. So, I'm looking at, like, I've never even heard of the guy, and that's not a put down on him. Like, I don't know a lot of first round quarterbacks. No,
he's just been he's a journeyman.
Yeah. And
he's been with 20 teams in the last seven years, I think, as a backup. So,
where do you go to school? Is he a Nebraska guy?
No, he's not a Nebraska guy. He is I think he's a Fresno State. He's a West Coast guy because he's Marshawn Lynch's cousin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you see what Marshawn – here's a side note. We're going to get off topic here, but Marshawn Lynch had this deal where he had his camera crew. He's got a camera crew following him around for something. But he has his camera crew, and he stops. He's on the beach. He's like, all right, we're doing a beach workout. And he, like, sets up ladders, and, like, he's dog cussing him. It was – if you haven't seen it yet –
I'll find Marshawn Lynch's beach workout. That's what he trained. No, he trained on the beach when he was in the league.
This dude,
he's Cali kid. So
he's next level.
He is.
He's pure hilarity,
and then he's a great. He was a great athlete on the NFL.
Let's look at some of these Eagles clips, and there's not too much here. I mean, the stuff that happened at the end of the game was more exciting than the game itself. But you look at this is early on in the game. Second play of the game, and look at, you know, you got left guard center, and this is Javon Kinlaw, their first round draft pick from last year, and I mean, left guard, left tackle. I mean, that's just getting absolutely blown off the ball. I mean, that's next level. Now, a lot of people are talking about Lane Johnson's get off and is he offsides and this and that. Lane Johnson, getting off the football is all about understanding the timing of the snap count. Mm-hmm. So you can it's about anticipation, and it's understanding that you can move your back foot because the referee is looking down the line of scrimmage, looking at your shoulders. So as long as you don't pull back or up on your shoulders and you move back, you can get that. And in rhythm, it's like we used to go, you know, Blue 80 said hut. And Brett was literally handing the ball off at hut, right? It was Blue 80.
Yes.
As soon as you heard that blue or that white or that green, Flanny was snapping the ball. And so we all have a rhythm, and there's a little bit of cadence that goes with it. And once you kind of get used to that, you can snap, you can time the stuff. It's a lot easier to do at home, obviously. That's why when you see a lot of these guys that are doing, like, you know, just random goes or like Omaha Go or Turbo Go, that's actually a lot harder for the offensive line because there's no rhythm that they can build in. These guys are doing a great job, and there's some guys across the league that do this that utilize that back foot. And just know that you can kind of adjusting it can also mean getting a better kick, but also just anticipating the snap count. I wanted to show this, bro, because there's two things that happened in this game that show you the power of Jalen Hurts, like the influence he has. One is that when they got to his late level, they're now either stopping their rush or they're bullying right into his spot, and he was still able to get outside at times.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to stop what they were doing. But you see, like, Lane Johnson shows you why he's an all-pro. Because he's holding here, right? Yeah. But he doesn't, he just, right here, he just, like, bear hugs the guy, but his hands are free. So he just arm holds.
Yeah.
Right? And this is, again, he's beat right here. This should be a sack. They don't call it. And yeah, they could call this, but you're just being smart, right? You're just doing a good job of, like, okay, I'm going to get my hand, I'm literally going to take my hands off him, and I'm just going to bear hug him.
Smart. Do what you can with the tools you got, whatever's available. Whatever's available. Smart play. Still picked up an inch without losing yardage.
So this is that first fourth down that Devontae Smith made a
– Oh, my God, a catch.
But turned out not to be a catch, but they
should be. True, right. A great thing. Catch would not – yeah. But he did smart by getting up, calling, you know, huddle up, let's go. He knew it wasn't a catch. So smart by him. Smart
first
by
thing
him.
Here, we talk about they bull rush. They start – so the defense end starts bull rushing Mulata, and Jalen Hurts can still get outside. So – you teach the really good defensive lines don't try to rush past the quarterback. They run to the quarterback, and then they make a hard right or a hard left. I'm talking about the defensive ends and try to collapse that pocket here. Hurts is such a great athlete. He still gets outside of this, makes the catch here. I mean, just unbelievable effort, but then immediately knows
Right.
Like when he starts doing this, you're like, okay, I'm watching the game. Like, oh, it's not a catch. And you just assume that the Niners are going to like call an immediate timeout and they don't call it. You're like, man, that was.
No, they let it go. I mean, good play by Devontae. Smart player.
So again, we go back to the offensive line though. And I mean, just talk about complete domination, man. Look at, I think this is center left guard.
Yeah.
I mean, look where they are, dude. I mean,
nobody touched them.
That is a 5-yard double team. And this is the NFC championship.
Right.
And this is the number one defense in the league. And when people talk about Landon Dickerson and Jason Kelce, when people talk about how good this offensive line is, like nobody else in the league is doing that. And they did it. I mean, how many clips you want to watch? You know, they did it all day against these guys now.
Right.
We talked about this, AG. From the first snap, Hassan Reddick, Sweat were coming off the edges, and they were gaining ground. And so it was just letting you know, like, we're attacking. We're getting to that quarterback. We're going to tackle on the way to the quarterback, and we're just going to make your life a living hell because trying to – this is the play. Like, I don't know. Bro, why do you – even if you're going to block this guy with a tight end, you have him in a three-point stance. You want to talk about mismatch?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Like, see, if you imagine, let's do it this way. Imagine you're the tight ends coach, and they're like, okay, Amon, we're gonna have your, who's your backup? Oh, okay, we're gonna have him in a 3-point stance. We're gonna hip him off off of Kittle, but he's got to block Hassan Reddick in a 2-point off a deep play action pass. He's all by himself. You'd be like, yeah, coach, I think we can do that. And you leave the room. You're like, because you know what's gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like, you know he's gonna get. There's no way this is the NFC Championship, bro.
Yeah, that was my nightmare with Javon Kurse, having to block him one-on-one on H6 protection. Like, really? You want me to cut block who? Javon Kurse? Dude. I was like, this is going to be a problem.
Okay, so now you brought up Javon Kurse. We got to talk about Bubba. Remember, so when we went and played to Tennessee Titans down in Tennessee, we're playing Javon Kurse, the freak.
Oh my goodness.
And I remember Bubba got beat off the line on a 74 protection, which is tight ends in. So he got beat off the line so bad. And Javon Kurse was faster than anybody in the league at the time, right?
Yeah.
But he got beat so bad that they took him a hearing test. They thought he couldn't hear the snap count. Dude, I mean.
Yeah. It was rough. It was a rough day because they had me then trying to chip and cut them, and that wasn't working.
Chip what, man? There's nobody there.
Exactly. I was like, I can't get to him fast. I can't get off to my 2 feet, my 2-point stance fast enough, coach. You're like, we got to do something else. We got to just scat protection all day.
So Lane Johnson here gets a good extension, but you just see, like, Bosa's got to slow down. Bosa has to stop doing what he wants to do in large part because Jalen Hurts is just going to back up. He gets more depth. Look how far back he is off the line of scrimmage. I mean, he's 10 yards. Quarterbacks usually, their back foot hits 10 and they step up.
Yeah.
His back foot hits 7 and he backed up to 10.
Yeah.
And so, and Lane sets for it. And this is part of their, I mean, this is kind of like a built-in idea for them. But you see, like, Bosa doesn't really know where to go now, right? And he just kind of gets caught. This happened a handful of times in the game where they're just not able to get that rush.
Yeah. And because resetting it like Jalen is doing, that's something that they don't coach. They don't teach it because they don't expect most quarterbacks to go, like you said, that deep. So you basically, the answers in your questioning there, basically having that where Bosa knows that most quarterback dropbacks are going to be 7, 7.5, maybe 8, but not 10. So then he's like, crap, I'm in no man's land. And then now the best lineman that's in the league for them and in the league is blocking them. So he's like, all right, my job is right now. I just hold you right in the chest plate and then just see what you're going to do. And I could just drive you where you want to go from there.
They're bringing a new quarterback. Everybody's seen this play. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so they got 15 acting like he's going to crack him maybe, but it doesn't look like Sean Reddick cares. And then they got Kittle coming across. And like, you're just watching this and like, none of this makes sense.
The timing was off with something because Kittle's not even in the right position.
They must have wanted to motion him, right?
They must have, and he didn't finish it. So that means Josh snapped the ball too early, and then that puts all hell. That makes the whole play go to crap, basically, from that point on. Look,
I literally thought it was a fumble.
Yeah, I thought it was a fumble too.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they got it back.
Javon Hargraves, he had himself a nice day against the left guard of the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if you saw the picture of Javon Hargraves like on the field, but I don't know how to explain except for that his lower half is at least a 50% increase in what you think it could possibly be, like from a physics standpoint.
Right.
Like his body, he's big, but then his lower body, you're like, what, dude? That is, I mean, he's a double wide. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know what
like
you mean.
That is a big, that's a, he's got a trunk on him now. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. And that's a problem. That's muscle. Goes, that's power.
He goes, well, he goes right through this guard right here. I mean, this defense, offensive defensive line domination was nuts, man, because you just think about how good really the Niners have been all season. And they just, they got Brandon Graham and Sweat on the same side here getting pressure.
That's Trent getting roller skated back into Josh's lap.
Trent's got such great feet, but when you've got big guys inside, because he's moving around so fast sometimes, it's not that he's high necessarily, but it's like, you know, it's like it's easy to, it's not easy to, but he can get pushed around a little bit more than you would think because he doesn't play heavy. He plays like a real athlete.
Right.
This I want you to just comment on this run, man.
A beautiful run. Yeah, that's let that play out and bring it back. You know, it starts off where it doesn't look pretty. It's muddled up. Philly's defense did a good job of muddling up. When I say muddled up, they got everybody in the area of the running back right there. He got, I mean, he got a missed block by number 15, the receiver for 49ers. But what you see Christian he drops his shoulder. One, same foot, same shoulder right there, and he resets.
Bro, he jumped over that block.
Was it? Oh, that was a jump. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he jumped. I don't know how he did it, but he literally just picked up his leg and jumped over it.
Yeah, and then this one is same foot, same shoulder coming right there. His head is down. He knew physical was coming. He knew contact was coming. So he basically covered his hands up with two hands, covered the ball up with two hands, and then basically brought his flipper with him. He's like, hey, take that with you. But was prepared for all the contact. And so he went into contact, saw the guy went low, picked the leg up. And I've done that a few times myself where guys like, oh, he's going low, I'm just walk over him. And that's the flexibility, the athleticism that he has in him. That's why he's one of the best running backs in the league. And then another guy here, like he squares him
look
up.
That,
nice
dude.
Little
oh.
This got skinny. This is him just getting skinny. It's not much a average running back does that, but a great running back could just do it without thinking about it. He's just reacting because he sees where that defender position, it's just enough to squeak by. And that sometimes you do that because they over pursued he over pursued his ankle. And then he got skinny, got up, was able to drop the shoulder and get the ball in the zone.
You ever seen Grown Ups 2?
Yes.
Okay, you know when Kevin James, he does like a sneeze, burp, fart. I forgot what he called it.
Yeah.
That's what Christian McCaffrey just did, whatever that's called, where he jumped over a guy.
Yep.
He literally made a guy miss, and then he ran through a tackle. Like that's got to be a like a turducken, you know, version of
a
running back thing, man. You don't get that many of those in your
you
career.
Know, I think I got my rookie year in training camp in Seattle. I did that where a guy went for my leg. I stepped over him. It happened so fast on film that my coach rewinded like 5-6 times back. He said, "Do you realize what you just did?" I'm like, "I didn't even know I did that. I just saw the guy. I reacted." And I was getting the ball upfield. He said, because you jumped, but you jumped so fast that where it looked like you just ran over him, you know, like you were running over a hurdle. And then you got down the field and you dropped your shoulder on another guy. And I'm like, look, I was just trying to make something happen. That's how you answer that question, basically.
That was an amazing play. So Jordan Mulata, they move him over and they go heavy on the right side. So they bring him over next to Lane Johnson. He gets his shot at Bosa. And this is why Bosa didn't spend any time over on the left side, man, because Mulata's that 6'8", 350-pound dude, and he just absolutely dumped that. I can't believe, like, 6'8", 350, that dude was playing rugby.
Yeah. Being a Hawaiian, oh, yeah, he's a problem.
And Kelsey and Dickerson again against Kinlaw. I mean, like, at this point, he's going to be facing the wrong direction. Now he's running back to the sideline. I mean – this and the guy's a good player, right? It's just those two are Pro Bowl players. Kelsey's going to be a Hall of Famer. And it's just a different – like, it's hard to explain. It's hard to put into words. because they're always it feels like they're always running against a six-man box. It always feels mm-hmm. like they're running against a light box because they have Jalen Hurts there. So there's always a guy like you see Fred Warner still mirroring Jalen Hurts on the screen here, even though the ball is way over there. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It feels like it's unfair. They can hold their blocks for a step longer. They can, especially on the backside, because they got to hold it. And they were talking about they always run. You set the strength to one side. They always run away from the strength for this reason. Mm-hmm. And it's just like from an offensive line standpoint, it's just perplexing, man. It's fun to watch, but it's also like, how do you guys get this much time on your doubles and this much, you know, this much space, and the linebackers aren't never hitting the hole? Like, it's just, I don't know how you get, and it's like running you and I ran the option yeah. offense in college. And yep. one of the things they always say is like, you can't prep for the option offense in a week or two. Like, it takes weeks and weeks of actually like repping, understanding your assignments, knowing exactly what your keys are, because your keys are changing because the quarterback's now a runner.
Exactly. And that's the problem. That's the answer to your question on why Pro Bowler is Greenlaw a Pro Bowler as well?
No, but he might as well be.
Yeah. But why Fred Warner is sitting at almost 10 yards mirroring, spying Jalen Hurts because of that problem, because that's what the option does. RPO options create that issue, because then if defenders are not trained in it, they don't know who to key, regardless of the formation. Like you said, with a running quarterback that is very good, like Jalen Hurts, that's where the doubt comes in, because they see the ball movement. They see all this back and forth, meshing and all that. And they're like, where am I supposed to go? When training would be just, if you're assigned to the quarterback, you take the quarterback, but you meet the quarterback past the line of scrimmage or on the line of scrimmage. You don't sit 5 yards back off the line of scrimmage, because that is distance that he could close on you, and he's going to have those yards picked up in the end.
Yeah, it's like to your point, Greenlaw's moving over, but Kelsey has leverage on him
yep.
from a side, and also he's still like, you know, he's 5 yards back. Like you would never watch the San Francisco 49ers and the way they hit holes and the way they key the run game, you would never see those two just standing there, and they don't have a choice. And so it's just like, it's literally all you can eat. You look down at the bottom of the screen, there's a tight end and two receivers standing out there like they're going to run some bubble screen with three dudes, and they run it all the time. Yeah, or they can give a quarterback keep. I mean, this is where we have time now. We'll talk about the Chiefs-Eagles matchup, but I just don't understand how you stop the Eagles. And I know they're not perfect, and they get, you know, there's plays or there's series where they don't score, but it's hard to understand. If it came down to it, it just feels like they could run this, literally this play, and maybe four options off of it with quarterback keep, with different routes, and I don't know if there's anything you can do to stop it.
Yeah, it's hard. And that's what you see at the high school level that runs these same formations, these same plays. They'll run the same formation for a whole drive because they got five or six variations from that one formation that's going to be four different runs and probably another four different play action plays off of that. And then you got high school players that are trying to deal with this. So, yeah, at the pro level, you think it would be a lot easier, but he also creates the same issues for a defense.
So you see, this is where things start. Greenlaw's getting a little angry here. Dude, yep. this is fantastic.
Just he gets a flag. Shots. He gets a flag for this. Yeah, I love it.
Like that seemed like such a non, like that was such a.
And Kyle said it. If you read Kyle's lips, he's punching the ball.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I watched that. I go, oh, he's punching the ball. Like, who cares? But, right. You know, it's a new and improved National Football League, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah,
But this is where, so at this point, it's 31-7. The game's not interesting. This game was not really that interesting at all after the first series because Purdy got hurt. But here, Ayuk is, this is, I didn't know why that. They don't show the Trent Williams judo throw, which was great technique, by the way.
I thought you were going to show it.
No, I didn't. Well, it was all over social media, and everyone's seen it. But got it. This is what led up to it, because there's actually a pretty good form tackle here as well. So you see Ayuk's down here, throws him down, and now look at that. Boom. That is not a bad form tackle.
That's a good form tackle. You're
that's
right.
Not a bad form tackle, and that was the extent – I think of the game as, you know, it turned in, I think in the second half, I can't imagine playing, you know, the Niners after the game, they weren't like sorrowful or they were just angry. They weren't dejected. They were just angry that they didn't get a good shot. They truly believe that they're a better football team. than the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know if that's true or not, but they truly believe they were better and they just were cheated out of this opportunity. And that's like, that's just tough, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Once you see Purdy go down, then Josh, it's like, then Purdy gets put back in because Josh is out with the concussion. It's like, oh man. And that, so that feeling, I totally agree with that 100%. It's that feeling of, man, if we're beyond health reasons, we're in this game. You know, we're either going score for score, and then we got to, then defense or offense got to step up and make a big play and make a difference in the game. But to have it like this, this is like, nah, this is not even, you know, y'all could talk, like, you know, we're, they're chirping, you know, amongst each other. And so San Francisco probably hurt, like Trent probably hurt enough. Like, you know what, bro? Okay. Yeah. You know, it's so, because you get to that point, it's like, man, if this was an even game, you wouldn't be talking that trash right now. So that's where you see the reaction for both sides of the players, obviously more San Francisco being frustrated than anything.
Finally got that late hit. There's a couple. I mean, and the other thing is too, not only are they, what do they have? 9 penalties? I think their defense had 9 penalties. Yeah. So you just go, and some of them, and you know, I know that, listen, for fans out there, I know the NFL guys get like the NFL, you know, officiating analyst on and say, oh, that was good. That was good. There are so many things that go unnoticed during an NFL game. And that is the number one defense in the league. And if you're the, you, at some point you got to go, it's like, you know, LeBron's bitching right now because he didn't get one call. And you're like, dude, you know how many calls you've gotten?
Yes.
Like that wasn't even a foul in the 90s. And you, like, how many calls? And so you think that you have, like, sometimes you have to earn, you have to have the cachet to get respect by these officials. And when you are the number one defense in the league and you're the one that's getting all these calls and penalties, that it's some of them, like, I know that whoever said they were all right, but this, was, at some point from a defensive stand, you know, just like a mindset, you're going like, dude, does everybody just want to see the Eagles in the playoffs? Like, what the hell's going on? Because nobody in the National Football League thinks that they're being bet against, but also nobody in the National Football League is naive enough to think that nobody's betting. True. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying there? Like, I'm not saying that anybody's cheating, but like, if you told me somebody was cheating, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. You could say that. So when we, I know when we talk about the Chiefs and Bengals game, there's a couple, it was a sequence there at the end of that game where you could state just that.
The third down thing, that. I didn't put it in. Dude, let's just talk about it right now.
But real quick, it was 11 penalties for the 49ers. 11 penalties, 81 yards, and that was penalized.
That's, I mean, which is, I think they averaged like 4 or 6 or something like that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But let's talk. So let's talk about the Chiefs. And this was actually a really good game. 23-20.
A lot better game than what we watched before. Right.
Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes was, first of all, Patrick Mahomes coming out and all of a sudden, like, we all should have seen this because he finished the game. And if you had really had a high ankle sprain, you were not finishing the last game, right? Adrenaline's not getting you through it.
It's tough. I've done it once. I did it in college one time.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, the severity of that high. I think we've all sprained our ankle.
It sucks.
Yeah,
it
but sucks. Like, if you're going to be out for 6, let's put it this way. I'm no doctor, but if you were to tell me, like, hey, you have something that's going to be, you're going to be out for 6 weeks, but you can go ahead and finish this game and play at an NFL elite level, I'd be like, eh, that's hard. I'm just saying we probably should have looked at this. The fact that he finished the game and going, well, he's probably going to be better off than we're all assuming, right? And because they have all this technology and all the protocols that are going to help out. But he comes into the game and he can run. And all of a sudden, like, everything that we talked about last week about Joe Burrow, like, Joe Burrow's the best pocket guy. And all of a sudden, but like, Mahomes doesn't have, he might not have that elusiveness. And all of a sudden, he does. It's the whole game. It's like, well, wow, that changed everything.
And I think he did a really good job early in the game to hold those extra lives, basically, as you would say it, to run that to make that play at the end of the game. Because at the start of the game, he was a pocket passer, and he was doing. And actually, that's part of a game that a lot of people forget about with Pat Mahomes, because he does all the scrambling and doesn't realize. And people forget, defenses forget, and defensive coordinators forget. If you just let him say, "Hey, I'm pretty sure everybody in me, Andy Reid, they all and Pat all had the conversation. You know what? I'll just sit in the pocket. You know, I don't want to."
He's number one passer rating in the pocket.
Exactly. And he was picking them apart. And then at the end of the game, had a couple extra lives. You know what? I could scramble. This is for the game. I could go for that. That's easy. That's a no-brainer. Now you have that reserved up because you've been kind of safeguarding, running, scrambling in the pockets. It's usually find that time. It's like, no, this is the time you got to take advantage of it. Go get that first down or go get the yardage he needs. And then boom, a personal foul, another 15 on top of that.
Let's talk. I didn't put that I didn't put the series where they got a free play.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put it in there just
because. Yeah, that was, that sequence is what you referred to in terms of
what
the betting or who's betting, right? You know,
so
it's interesting.
So you saw the official run out and they actually, like, it was a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
But God, I mean, can you, so like Zach, I know Zach Taylor.
Me too. Yeah.
And Zach, oh yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But you go, oh, poor Zach. Like that's,
yeah,
like, that's, it's like, that's, oh, that just feels wrong, doesn't
I
it?
I felt bad for when I saw what was going on. Yeah. I'm sitting there like, I'm like, I get you, Zach. I say, I know exactly.
I was sick for him, man.
You just got something taken away from you that moment that had nothing to do with what you did, what your players did. Your players did everything they were supposed to, and the people managing the game messed up. And now that's going to affect you, even if you complain about it, even if you say something and you're right, but they're going to take it as the way they took it, basically. It's like, ah.
This was the Chris Jones show.
Like, oh yeah, he had a day.
Chris Jones is, I mean, look at, let's
see. It reminded me of Aaron Donald Super Bowl last year, where he said, when he made the few plays and he started doing this, he started pointing to his fingers like, I want a ring or whatever that meant. That's what Chris Jones, he took that. That's how he played. He said, I'm taking over. If it was a one-on-one, game over. Don't do that to me. Don't disrespect my game by putting a one guy on me with the momentum and the drive that I want from last year's games and the games that I felt I missed out on one or two plays where I should have made and I didn't make them. He was making up for those plays, and that was his drive in those instances, in those plays that he made this last night.
Two sacks, three tackles for loss, five quarterback hits. You know, this is one of those games where I'm not, you know, I thought the Bengals were going to win. I still think Joe Burrow, you know, you see the two interceptions, everything. One of the interceptions we'll look at, it doesn't even make any sense of where the receiver ended up. But
you look
at the game and it's like, well, I kind of feel better because offensive line play actually matters in this league, because the Cincinnati Bengals have an awful offensive line and they've got three guys that are out. But just generally they're not very good. And when you look at everybody else in the playoffs, you look at the Eagles, you look at the San Francisco 49ers, and you look at the Chiefs, they all have good offensive lines and they've good defensive lines. I think every team had a good defensive line, but it matters. Like, it matters that you have somebody to block your franchise quarterback. And when they give up three sacks and three plays, you're just going, I know that the Bengals always are losing in the second half or the fourth quarter of this game. They always come back and win, but this does feel a little bit different now, doesn't it? Because I think it was the first time in his career they had gotten three sacks in a row. But this game, the way that it ended, everything that it was just the highs and lows, man. It was so much fun to watch. There's so much talent, and Joe Burrow. I'll say this, and Zach's a smart guy, and I think he's done a great job there. They have to give Joe Burrow some more help I think it's two things. One, offensive line, they're not teaching, whatever they're teaching there is not very good. I don't know who the coach is. I don't know anything about him. I'm just, technically, their footwork and everything is just not very good. Like, they brought in Lyle Collins, and I know he's hurt. Lyle Collins was getting his break speed off this earlier in the season before he got injured. He came in there, was like, no one's going to touch you. It's like, bro, Dallas was okay getting rid of you because you were a liability in the pass game, right? And like, and then you bring, and then Cincinnati brings him in, and you're just kind of like, well, do they have somebody? This is what's crazy about the National Football League. This is like a bigger thing. This isn't a thing on Collins, but they go for a season, and they're the worst offensive line you've ever seen. And Joe Burrow is still winning games. So they're like, you know what? We're going to go invest in offensive line. Then they bring in a guy. So they've kind of proven that, like, we can't draft and develop that position with the people we have in the building. That's what that says to me. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, in other words, there's a lot of guys that are getting drafted in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round that are going to teams that are being developed by coaches that can play at a level that are higher, that's being played higher than the Cincinnati Bengals. Is that fair?
Yes.
So they go, okay, we're going to bring in some guys. So like Tampa Bay brought in some guys too. It's fair. That's a way to win. But then they bring in a guy or multiple guys that aren't necessarily like really good at what
really
they
good suck. At what they did, right? At what you they should what I mean? Be
like,
doing. Right.
It was just a complete like mind screw that they did that. But I think Zach has to like, so there's the personnel issue. And then from a scheme standpoint, you look at the San Francisco, I think the Eagles are off the table because Jalen Hurts is a different kind of quarterback. But correct. You look at Pat Mahomes and you look at what they do for the San Francisco 49ers, and you look at the creativity and the eye discipline and everything and the pre-snap motion, everything that they do to make life more difficult for the defenses, you see just the smallest amount if you really break down the tape of the Bengals, but not enough, man. It's more like, Joe, here's a look, make a read, make a call, you make it happen, we're going to go five-step drop, bang, 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 get rid of the ball fast, and hope for the best. Like, there should be plays that are easy where you go, oh, this is almost like a playoff for like half the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's something where you set it up for the player to be successful. And that's basically a coach's job boils down to when you have good players. But if you don't have good players, you're really doing your job where you got to develop them during the practice times, during the week, during training camp, during off season to make sure they come to a point where they're at the pro level, they could stick to doing basic fundamental blocking or tackling or whatever it is that you're supposed to be coaching them on, and they're doing it right. It's the whole coaching carousel. You know what that is. Accountability and consistency. You keep doing it, and you keep riding their butt until they do it right, consistently all the time.
I don't know. I really don't know what the answer is there because like, you don't know what the limitations of Joe has from like, can he throw on the move? Like, you know, there's a couple, because you just really don't see, like, well, let me rephrase that. You know he can. You know he can scramble. Yeah, you know he can do all this stuff, but they just really haven't shown it. But it's one of those deals where everybody thinks like, and he makes these statements like, the window's open as long as I'm here. And he's right. Like, he's that kind of talent. I still think, I've watched this game. Yeah, I watched this game and I think Patrick Mahomes had, listen, Patrick Mahomes was 29 for 43, 326. He had himself a day, right? Yeah, really. Two touchdowns, 105 passer rating. He had a day. He showed everybody why he's the best. He's going to be the MVP. He's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, to me, is dealing with, they got receivers out. Everybody's got injuries, this, that, and the other. He's got two really good receivers playing for him, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. But he has – they get 71 yards rushing out of 17 carries in the game. Mixon gets 19 yards rushing. Joe Burrow's got 30 of 71 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Which, you know what I mean? Like, and they have nothing.
Nice little move on the linebacker trying to tackle him. Yeah, quick two-step. That was sweet.
But they got nothing else going on, man. It's like Joe's going to make this happen. And every other game that we watch, line's kind of dictating the tempo of the game, right? Offensive line, defense line, can we run the ball? Can we protect? This guy is literally, it feels like he's doing it all himself. And as much as they've changed culture and everything, like, bro, if you don't make it a little bit more, we would call it user-friendly.
Yeah.
I just don't know. He's going to win some championships, but you got to make some changes for sure.
Yeah, they make changes. I mean, the defense did a good job on the one interception, had the bracket coverage that was actually played right the second time and got the tip drill. Pick interception. And I think the other one was off of pressure where they had pressure on Burrow and the ball got tipped out of his hands and then picked off. So yeah, they can't just sit and wait for Burrow to be Burrow saying that, okay, I'm not saying they're thinking this, but that's kind of what they're showing us.
It feels that way though.
It feels that way. It's that, oh yeah, we got this great, just say like back in the day, with the Bulls, oh, we got Michael Jordan. We don't need, he's a rookie. He's putting up 60 points a game. We don't need no peripheral players. We don't need nobody to support him. Yeah, you do. That's why they brought in Pippen. That's why they brought in Phil Jackson 10 years after the fact and all these other players to build that up, to build what they had. So they got to do the same for Joe, basically.
I would say it a slightly different way. I agree with what you're saying. I'd say it a slightly different way, though. If you don't have Joe Burrow at the helm in that offense, I think they're probably a bottom seven offense.
Yes.
Okay. I think if you put anybody if you put a competent quarterback, an average quarterback in the Niners offense, if you put an, we've shown it, if you put an average quarterback in the Chiefs, I think they're going to still be good because I think there's just enough scheme and technique. And there's just things that are happening in those offenses, eye discipline things that challenge the leverage of defenses like the Bengals aren't doing. And, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what I'm saying. Like if you could be like, if you were going to be a top 15 offense without Joe Burrow, imagine how good you can be with Joe Burrow, right? But I just don't think they're that without him. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. You got to get a kid, man, give them kids some more weapons and it's more protection weapons. The O-linemen that know what they're doing.
These guys start off fast, man. This is 51 Dan. Like everybody was coming for him. Frank Clark has been a resurgence the last 2 weeks. Yep. You know, but this goes to show you they bring Gay off the edge here and kind of mess with the tackles line blocking responsibilities. So now he's late on it. I mean, that's just a linebacker. Like you should never get beat on a linebacker, right? But they challenge his rules a little bit. Yep. It's just this kind of stuff is this. So I know Max Sharpin was in Houston.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I know Max.
Yeah. It was just he's had a bad couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's Max is actually no, I coached him in high school. He's from Southwest Green Bay High School.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. I know him. Good kid.
You know, yeah, he's got a great he's got this real cool Charger. What are those called? Hellfires.
Oh, he got one. He could fit in one. Yeah, well. He's tall.
So Kelsey, this is what you love about like the Chiefs, right? Like they're willing to, this is impromptu. It's got to be, right? The hook and ladder. But Kelsey's hell, let's try the hook and ladder. You know what I mean?
Right. I think it's legit. He just didn't toss it right.
It was a great call.
It was a great call, right?
What do you think about, a lot of people are saying like that's the next thing is people are going to start laddering the ball more in the National Football League. It's hard to say.
I want it to. We both play rugby. Yep. I tell when I was coaching the high school teams I coach, I'm like, hey, coach, let's do this. I could teach them how to pitch the ball the proper way, and we could create problems on a special on a punt or on a kickoff or maybe on a run play, you know, or offensive play. I mean, from that standpoint, I mean, he's like, and of course they kind of look at me, but I'm like, hey, just let me know it's there, you know.
I thought this was going to be one of the big plays in the game. So this early on. They have the second goal. I think Pacheco gets the touchdown here, and they make a holding call right there on Wiley. Wiley had a bad game too, man.
He had a lot.
They threw a lot of flags on him.
But this is one of those things.
Oh my god, so stupid. This is one of those things where you know, with Joe Burrow in the history here, you're like, dude, if they traded in 10 points and they only got 6 here, like all of a sudden you go, okay, well, when's that 4 points going to come back and haunt you? You know, because that just seems to be the way it's rolled.
Same thing I was worried about because I'm like, come the fourth quarter of this game, the way the score went and the way the game played, I'm like, Cincinnati's going to win. They might win this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was in their territory with how they won the game previously in all the matches. It was tight or tied up, which it was. And it was just like, I could see them kicking a long field goal with McPherson here.
And I felt the same way.
Yep.
Karlaftis gets one. I mean, this is where in the first half, you're just like, all right, so there's 4 sacks in the first half. Like, here we go again, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, this is a 3rd and 14, and he's so good. Like, the anticipation on his throws, it's not like he's throwing darts, man. He doesn't have Josh Allen's arm. But his anticipation is just, it's just next level, man. Like, he throws half of these balls before they break.
Yeah,
you know,
and I know the incomplete that actually bounced off Jamar Chase's helmet. You can't get no more accurate than that. It was in the field. It was like on the deep right side of the field. It literally hit Jamar Chase in the helmet. It was like you can't get more accurate than that.
Chris Jones, one of his 3 tackles for loss, and you know, you just go backdoor. I mean, I remember we played him. We were playing. I was with Miami. And we played him before, like, he was a big name, right? And I remember before, but I'm, like, watching tape on him. And the left guard for the Dolphins, like, they used to come down and ask me about different players and everything. And I was like, I got to tell you, man, like, he takes a lot of plays off, but this guy's a real problem. And so what we did was the dude that was playing left guard at the time was a big, you know, real strong guy, right? I'm like, I think you should just, like, try to fight him. Like as many times you could just like get him mad, you know, so he's not thinking about pass rushing. And like, we literally got Chris Jones. This Ted was just in his grill all day, and they like he forgot that it was like pass rush time, and he was trying to beat up Ted the whole game.
that works.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes you got to do it. Orpheus Roy was that guy too. Orpheus Roy used to play for the Browns. And if you got him mad, he would just pick you up and like run right past the quarterback and try to deposit you like 20 yards deep just to show you how strong he was. Right. But he'd forget to like sack the quarterback. It was like a running joke in the National Football League. Like, dude, if just get him angry. Like, he'll forget about the quarterback. He's trying to kill you.
Yeah. That's a block. That's a win.
Well, it's a block. I don't know if it's a win.
He's not hitting the quarterback. That's a win in my book.
No, you're right. You're right. Kelsey gets his. Kelsey had a good game yesterday.
Man, great awareness by him to break the route off. I mean, I'm not sure if it's designed or not, but him just being aware. He looked back. He peed back. He saw Pat scrambling to his right and just broke the route off. And he's a tall guy. He's going to create problems for any DB trying to cover him.
So this is that first interception. And so they got the slot. They got the trips look. And you see he breaks inside here, right? So this is where it gets confusing because we don't have the end zone copy right now.
Yeah.
But so you got this inside look, and then you see the pick, and you're like, well, how the hell did he get over there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was weird, man.
I think he kind of floated high. He stayed over top. He stayed over top, so that's where he was in the position, and he didn't get the rub. He wasn't part of the rub part of the routes or the concept.
Back shoulder throw from Burrow here. This is the stuff when you watch him throw and just kind of the anticipation and – he's just so user – like, it's so user-friendly, the ball that this guy puts on these receivers, man, because, like, none of these things look like heaters, right? Like, Mahomes has a legitimate cannon arm. It just doesn't feel that way with him. It just feels like it's all about anticipation and comfort. Like, that ball right there, that's like a – I mean, that's like me just tossing you the ball from 2 yards away. You know what I mean? It's just that kind of touch. Boy, perfect Higgins touch. Is something else too, man.
Higgins had –
yes, six catches, 83 yards, touchdown. Boy, he had himself. There's a lot of players in this game. How about the old Packers?
Marquez. Yeah, Marquez showed up, touchdown, 116. Going for the ball and then making spectacular catches to help his quarterback out. Good job by MVS.
Great pickup here. This ball, you pause it here because – so – if anybody doesn't understand how difficult this is, he's running full speed across his body on a bad leg and then just flips his hips and he throws it right between the hash mark and the numbers. And the dude catches it 15 yards downfield right between the hash mark and the numbers. Like, that's almost defies the laws of physics. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, because the ball is going to carry.
Yeah. Your momentum. The ball's still going to drift. That's why they don't want you to do it.
Exactly.
Packer fans know this from the Brett Favre pick in Minnesota when he was playing against the Saints for the NFC Championship, right? Like, you don't do this for a reason.
The ball will carry because of momentum, and it didn't do that. It had enough velocity to stay straight on the line, basically. That's how much power he can generate on a bad leg and just getting all hips and upper body into it.
That's when they talk about spin rate now on the ball. Like, they talk about it in baseball all the time. They're starting to talk about it in football now. The spin rate helps it cut and helps it stay stable. But, dude, the guy's just such a ridiculous talent, man.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring the house. Simple play here. This is actually one of the plays of the game. You know, look, he sticks it out. I mean, that was
good awareness by Marquez. Good job.
I don't know if this is good awareness or something to get fired over if the ball gets knocked out of your hand.
True.
It worked out, so it's great awareness. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, this is one of those Bill Belichick's, like, don't reach for the end zone ever. This is a hell of a play, though. This is a hell of a play.
He'll be like, ever.
Right.
Don't try to do that ever. But it worked. Just the one time it worked.
How many times in your career, like, somebody tell you, like, you know, if it didn't work, we're going to – you were, like – in a lot of trouble.
I say about a dozen times. Yeah. I did so many little things where EB, Sly, or even Mike Coach Sherman would come up, you know, if you didn't do that, that we'd be talking right now. I'm like, okay, thanks for letting me know. I'm like, woo.
I try to play without a conscience, Coach. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that. All right.
I think I got the end zone on this one, this touchdown to MBS, man. This is actually super interesting because his eyes are going to Kelsey actually first. So then the safety dives on the underneath route. But he's not even there. So he's got, like, you're reading, if you're watching this on TV, he's reading that left to right, right? So go back and he's got, you know, he's going,
he looks the cap,
he's going 87 to the middle. And now he breaks out and finds MVS on the right. Like, that's his read. So he's got to get to his third receiver, check the safety, and then just throw a dart.
Yep.
On the run, bad ankle. And now
this
we got.
This one is a problem right here. I'm like, God, dog.
That let me just tell you, bro, firsthand, that's one of the worst feelings in the world. Where you're like, he's got my hand underneath. He stabbed me. There's nothing I can do. You're just like, throw the ball.
Yes,
throw the ball.
Yes. I mean, I've been a part of it and I've done it. Like, I've done it to a linebacker and linebackers have done it to me. And I'm like, I'm looking back like, hurry up, get this thing out.
Man, it's just the worst feeling in the world. So they call this intentional grounding, right?
Having that arm pressed, and you are the presser, not the press. You're the pressee. I mean,
you're the receiver.
You're the receiver. That is, get the ball out, run the ball, hit the gap. Don't think about it. Just get ready, because I'm coming fast, and then you're not gonna like the end result of this. And that's what we saw.
Chris Jones, look at that. Wait, look at that boiler. Hold on.
Yeah, he's sitting there celebrating. He was just
this
part
guy.
Of
Who
it.
Is this guy?
The half sack. He got the half sack. That's 92.
That's 92. So 92 taped down his pads real tight, bro. He taped down his pads real tight. My man.
Yeah, he up there celebrating. That's what he's giving Chris the business. He's giving Joe Burrow. And I didn't realize that, because I watched the whole presentation, that they were calling Arrowhead Barrelhead. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that to the end. I was like, oh, man, that's a problem.
So he goes out on the right tackle. Suddenly, it's for the second or third time during the game, but backup right tackle. Chris Jones does this all the time. They try to mix it up, free him up a little bit. He waves everybody goodbye.
I mean, that's when I knew this was a good game, man. Yeah, he had a great game, and that's when I still thought Bengals had a chance. Okay,
I did too. So
that, even then,
that
it wasn't until this time.
So they get that great return off the punt,
right?
Now, a lot of people, I just wanted to get something clear, because a lot of people bring up that this is they're holding, Orlando Brown's holding. First of all, no, he's not. He's not. Both hands are inside. He's not beat. Okay. And he got an outside chip help on Hendrickson here. Got both hands, gloved him up. Like, it's so weird. Like, this came all over social media. Like, this
really?
Is a hold. Yeah, it's just nuts call. This dude, I feel so bad for this Asai guy, man. He played so well, and then like, you see what he's thinking here. He's thinking, like, maybe if I knock him sideways, the clock will keep running. Like,
right.
And then it did the last, first of all, that you don't want to see his knee again. But
yeah, he hyperextends his knee. I saw like three or four of them in this game alone, and two in the 49ers Eagles game, two hyperextensions. Tony as well, Darius Tony, he hyperextended his knee. I think that's what led to his twisted ankle and him not being in the rest of the game. So hopefully he's ready for Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. So we'll see.
These guys, that was a great game. So it ends in the field goal. Bragging rights go to the Chiefs. Nothing much else to say, but I'll tell you what, I would watch that game. You put that game on every weekend, you'll watch it, because I think that you're looking at two absolutely generational talents at quarterback. As I sit here and kind of bitch about the Bengals offense and their offensive line, it makes Burrow, in some ways, more fun to watch, because you're like, oh God, this could be anything could happen right now.
True.
You know, like he pulls a rabbit out of his hat, or he gets sacked, or it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's nuts.
He's trying to survive. And he's like, at some points later in the game, he was just on survival instincts.
Yeah.
But he wasn't doing the usual characteristic of seeing ghosts. He was just trying to, I mean, the one in unintentional, intentional grounding one. He was trying to just get out of harm's way, threw it to where he could, where he done it. He did it early in the game, but at this point in the game, it was no receiver, or just from the play calling and the timing, it was no receivers in the area.
It's amazing how many athletes, and like, I'm not like this. Joe Burrow, even amongst elite athletes, is a unicorn. He's unique. He does not feel like there's a term that I'll use generally, because I don't want anybody. He's a functioning psychopath. Like, he doesn't feel well. I mean, and
like, I get it.
Clinically, what I'm saying is, I'll bet that his I'll bet that his heart rate doesn't even speed up when these moments are happening. Like, he's just seeing chaos and carnage around him and bad things, and he's just like, just another day at the office, man. No problem.
Hey, you know what I mean? Said that. I've said this to my esports players because I've saw so many players react to losing or dying in a game where they totally shut down. I said, look, you got to be kind of electric on this thing. And they're like, what? I said, you got to be psyched where it don't even bother you when you lose. When you lose, it's like, oh, let's play the next game. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes in one ear and out the other. Just like anything else. They're like, huh? I'm like, that's how I play. I said, when I lose, I didn't lose. I'm just like, oh, okay. This happened. If it wasn't for that, you know, whatever. Okay, let's go. Let's tee it up again. Let's go. Let's ride out. I'm like, oh, they're like, oh. I'm like, yeah. I said, that's how eventually you get to that level where you're going to win. You know you're going to win because it's like, I've seen everything else. I lost or on this, that, and the other. All right. I just got to do this, this, and this, and we're going to win the game. And I could see that with Joe Burrow. He has that mentality. He has those facial expressions, and you hear it in his conversation as well. So
yeah, there's like a Jalen Hurts. You know, Jalen Hurts had a great thing. He's like, his first thing he thinks about, do I play to my standard? If I play to my standard, we should win. And then he kind of figures out the defense, you know, his opponent and everything else. The thing that I don't see, you never see Joe Burrow play to play. Every answer he gives, everything, he's not rattled. There's nothing. He can throw a pick. He just doesn't have any like almost zero emotional attachment to what just happened. Like the ultimate idea, every athlete, you go, man, if I could just live in the present at all times and never worry about what's going to happen, what did happen, never bring baggage. And this, like, that's why, that's why, like me personally, like I almost feel like I overtalked this kid, but it's one of those deals where I know this girl that's a soccer player, right? She's a teenager. I'm friends with her parents, right? And she's one of the best soccer players in the world. She's one of the best soccer players I've ever seen. She's only like 15 years old.
Right.
And I asked the dad one time, I go, what did you do? They have a son. The son's amazing too, but the daughter's different. And
I know he's different.
He asked me one time, he's like, why don't you give my son, you know, kind of why aren't you as awe of my son as my daughter? And I go, I don't know how to explain this, but I only know three people in my entire life that have her personality. Like, I've only met three people that just don't care about anything but like what's going on right now. And he's like, you know what? I said, how did you get him this way? And he goes, I literally think I could drop my daughter into the jungles of Brazil with a soccer ball and a 200,000 crowd stadium, and she'd be like, ball out, let's go. Like, that's no problem. And there's just, like, if you're an athlete, that's just so, it's hard to explain, but like, that's so rare. And that's why, like, for Joe Burrow, I'm like, I think you could put him in any scenario that has to do with a football, and he'd be like, all right, whatever. Like, I can't play with one foot today? Oh, okay, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I get to play with five players? Oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, nothing would faze him. And it's just amazing. And I know Patrick Mahomes is the better player yesterday. Like, I get all of it, but it's nuts, man. It's nuts to watch that guy.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I agree with you, man. That's you couldn't put it any other way. I'll say it at that. So, oh, man. Hey, great show, man. Great talk.
Yeah. Listen, AG, where do we find you, bud?
Oh, you can find me on MyGreen30. That's on Instagram only at the moment. Still working on Twitter to get my account back. But you could go also from my Gaming Lounge podcast, go to MyGreen's Gamers Lounge on TikTok. Follow there and like the videos and pictures that I post there. And I'll pass it over to you, Mike.
There it is. MikeWall60 on Twitter and TikTok, Process to Perform on Instagram. We will be back on Thursday. I don't know what we're going to, well, I guess we'll do like a Pro Bowl games preview or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Maybe they got flag football. They got golf competition. They got dodgeball. I think they got peanut.
They have a good time coming is what they
I think
have.
They got pickleball. They got pickleball too.
I'm so jealous. Aren't you jealous? You're like, why? I'm a little bit, yes. Yes. Like, I'd rather be in Hawaii, but.
I'd rather be in Hawaii, 100%. Yeah. No, yeah. I say I'm not jealous only because I'm not 100% jealous because of Hawaii, but I would rather, do that stuff in Hawaii.
Oh, no doubt.
Beach volley or beach dodgeball or whatever. Any, you know, I'm like, come on. They need to do it. They need to get back to Hawaii though. They need to. That's the spot.
I think the bottom line is Hawaii. Just Let's have a Mai Tai drink off. Like, let's keep it what it is, man. All right, AG, we'll see you, brother.
That was happening anyway. All right, see you, Mike.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.